employment journey. All right. Thanks for all of the applause. You're so welcome. No, stop. Bruce just said this on the table. You mind if I stand?
That's fine.
Go for it.
All right, I'm going to want that back. So, yes. Oh, they mic me outside. So I have two mics now. Man, I'm popular.
And they wouldn't put, applaud you.
No. I'm going to try to interject some points into the quote-unquote my employment journey. I'm not going to go through my journey before 1989 because I was sighted then. My employment journey, once I went blind, completely flipped the script. All the doors that were previously open to me just slammed shut. Partly because I had to redefine myself and acquire a skill set, and I also had to deal with the public perceptions or misconceptions on blindness. So that was a learning in itself. So, interestingly enough, when I finally made the decision to really double down and go back to work, and for those of you who are not in here taking notes, not for my presentation, but for the previous presentations, you're not taking it serious enough. Remember, it's a full-time job getting a full-time job. So one of the things I had to realize is I had to buckle down and realize that I needed to acquire a skill set. Not a skill set that was employable, because I had a host of different jobs, had a lot of transferable skills to almost any position, but I did not have the blindness skills to actually capitalize on those existing skills. So I went to a training center, I learned Braille, learned how to travel with a white cane, learned access technology. There's a lot of bumps in the road, but that's a story for a different day. But what I realized is once I got those skills, now I had to go out into the marketplace to employ myself. But luckily for me, the center where I was working actually turned around and employed me. So I started doing teaching. I taught Braille. I shouldn't have done it, but that's what I did. I taught access technology.
Done. Dim. Pause. Button. Fast forward. Play. Rewind. Current position. 2 minutes. 60. Waveform. 2 minute. Trim. Selected. Playback settings. Dim. Button. Duration. 10 minute. November 10. Anil Lewis. Sheet grabber. Sheet grabber. Anil. November. Cap N. Duration. 10 minute. Cap D. Selected. Trim. Dim. Selected. Playback settings. Dim. Button. Trim. Dim. Button. Waveform. 2. Trim. Waveform. 2 minutes. 30. Current position. 2 minutes. 40. Rewind. 15 second. Play. Button. Fast forward. 15 second. Pause. Button. Done. Dim. Button. Done. Dim. Done. Dim. Pause. Button. Fast forward. Play. Rewind. Current. Waveform. Trim. Selected. Duration. 10 minute. November 10th. Anil Lewis. Sheet grabber. Sheet grabber. Button. Pause. Button. Pause. Button. Sleep. Image. Microphone and you. Pause. Button. Pause. Button. Wait for 3 minutes. 21 seconds. Adjustable. Pause. Pause. Wait for duration. Anil Lewis. Sheet grabber. Sheet grabber. Button. Pause. Button. Pause. Button.
People are doing. And the reality is, the blind people are still in the top 10% of the productivity. But the beautiful part about it is, everybody's efficiency increased. Even the sighted people were able to do their jobs better because it was just easier to do it in a paperless environment. So that wasn't Wachovia spending more money just to hire a group of blind people. That's Wachovia investing in an infrastructure that made it possible for blind people to work there, but also increased efficiencies for their whole staff. So I think that's always important when you're actually interviewing for a position. Don't sell yourself short. Don't make it sound like you're a burden. Recognize that adding you to their complement, not only do they get your unique perspective walking through this world every day as a blind person, learning how to develop strategies and problem solve in the moment, that's a skill set that any team's gonna want, right? You're not a burden, you're not an inconvenience, you're an asset. But there are also some instances where the accommodations they're gonna make for you to be employed are gonna increase efficiency for their whole employee staff. So just recognize you go in with an asset attitude, right? So then I stopped doing the employment stuff. I started doing job development for Randstad Staffing during the 1996 Paralympics, where we were getting all types of people with disabilities employed through the staffing service industry. It was a short-lived moment because everybody was high on it because the Olympics comes with the Paralympics, and I want me some disabled people working during the Paralympics. So, you know, once the shine left, again, everyone who had made a productive contribution to the employer stayed. Everyone who was there for the warm and fuzzy feeling of Paralympic game, they lost their jobs. I left there and I went to work as a client advocate. Again, all of these are transferable skills from my lived experience, right? Because as a blind person having to go through rehab, I knew what people were doing, so I was able to be a good advocate. And in doing that, I was able to help move to a place where they could actually get the services and support they needed in order to go to work through vocational rehabilitation. Other part of the story is kind of history, because during that same piece, I was very active in the organization. I was a chapter president, I was an affiliate president, and I served on the National Board of Directors. So Dr. Meyer came to me one day and he said, how would you like to help us build a car that blind people can drive? And that was when I went to the national office in 2010 with our Blind Driver Challenge, and I got to drive a car on the Daytona International Speedway. I'm not the one in the video, that's President Cabono. He had all the power on him, I had all the fun, he had all the pressure. So it's really good. But from that, I went from the Director of Strategic Communications in that effort. I went to the Assistant Director of Advocacy and Policy, working under John Perret. I became the Deputy Director of Blindness Initiatives under Mark Riccobono before he became President, and now I serve as the Executive Director of Blindness Initiatives for the National Federation of the Blind. A lot of my journey is really capitalizing on, as you can see, kind of a staircase of different opportunities that presented themselves. It wasn't a trajectory that I planned. So I tell you, plan your trajectory. I really had ambitions, and I was telling someone other that after the Blind Driver Challenge, the 2 years, I was gonna go back to Georgia and run for Congress. That's the trajectory I think I'm still gonna go on once I finish doing my good work here. So plan your trajectory, but look for opportunities that you can capitalize on. So it's good to have a direction, right? But don't be so tunnel vision focused that you don't see an opportunity that you'd like to take advantage of. So these little jobs that I told you have been kind of deviations from the planned objective, but that planned objective is still in place. With the time I have left, I want to talk about two specific things if I can. I know I'm going over.
Yeah, that's fine.
Really quickly, the first thing is when you're worrying about whether you disclose, whether you're blind or not, don't create a hard and fast rule. Always evaluate the job opportunity. I tell people, if you are blind and you're applying for a job at the National Federation of the Blind, you don't disclose, that's a big mistake. But if you're blind and you're applying for a company that you know has had a history of discriminating against people with disabilities, then you may want to find a different way of disclosing. When I applied for the job at Randstad, doing that staffing, I went in, I had enough travel vision so that I could take my cane, I put it inside my briefcase, and I walked in as a sighted person. Luckily, the lady who interviewed me had a bright yellow sweater on, so I was able to follow that bright yellow sweater up into the office, did a really good job in the interview, and I asked my classic interview question at the end. Given the time we spent here and the answers I've given you, is there any reason that you feel that I would not be able to fill this position? And she says, no, you've been outstanding. The only thing is we were hoping to fill this with a person with a disability. I jumped in my briefcase, yanked my cane out. So I probably would have missed that opportunity had I not disclosed, right? And had I not answered that question, I would have known to disclose. So I got that job. So that's one. Evaluate the opportunity based on whether you can really convince the individual that your blindness is an asset or not. Don't say that you're not going to do it. So do it when it's comfortable. And the other thing I offer to you is be able to answer the unasked question. By law, they're not supposed to ask you about your disability. But you know they're curious about your disability. So you can sit there and have them make the mistake of asking about blindness and say, oh, it's against the law. That's not going to get you the job. Or you can leave them thinking, oh, they're a blind person, not going to hire them. What I do is I answer other questions, educating them about the disability. You know, tell them about some of the things that you've done. Well, I've been able to do statistical analysis on large databases using Excel, and I use a screen reader, which allows me to access it through voice and translate everything on the screen into speech. I'm not telling her I'm blind and useless. I'm telling her I'm blind. I use alternative technologies to be very competitive. You see what I'm saying? So be able to answer the unasked question. Don't make them feel uncomfortable. Don't leave them ignorant. Show them how you can use your alternative skills to get the job done. That's when you're winning. I appreciate you guys. I recognize that this is hard work and you have to take it serious. So I encourage you to not get frustrated. It's easy for me to say because I have a job. but I've been there. I know how it feels. Don't get frustrated. Just continue to take that frustration and redirect it into something that's positive. And find yourself a circle of people, maybe the people in this room, that you can go back and commiserate with so that they can flip it for you and say, look, this is a positive. This is something that we learned. And it is somewhat, unfortunately, a numbers game. But I also don't push it out there so broadly that you can't control and manage it. Be very targeted and strategic, but try to push the numbers out there so that you can get those opportunities for those interviews. And the more you interview, the better you get at the interview. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes you go to this company, you interview for them, and you don't hear from them at all. Don't give up. If you see that job still posted a few months, go back to them. You're probably a little cleaner, crisper. It may tighten up your resume. And you might get that job after all. So I wish you all well in your job pursuit, and hopefully if I can be of any assistance to you in the future, you can feel free to reach out to me. Thank you.
Congressman Lewis.